Morning, everyone. Last week, Elizabeth brought us a new series called Cultivating Spiritual Practices, and she spoke of our need to develop daily habits if we're to become real disciples of Jesus, habits that will help us to grow and bring us much joy. This week, we're looking at developing the spiritual practice or discipline of study. Someone has defined that as the devotion of time and attention to gaining knowledge of a subject or person, especially by means of books. But please don't be put off by the subject. I mean, I wanted to study astronomy once, but it was way over my head. Sorry about that. But you know, we're all natural students from the time of our birth. God gave us inquiring minds, and he expects us to use them to get to know him better. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to look at another spiritual practice. We pray that you'll guide us, Lord, to receive from you this morning. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I don't know whether any of you have used the church website to look at the work of Dr. Helen Tranter from Bristol Baptist College, but in her introduction to the Lent study talks, she tells of the richness of the Bible and the extraordinary patterns and connections she finds in scriptures. She says it will transform our lives and encourages us to get more deeply into it and be inspired by it. We will get to know God better, she says, through his word. You know, I love autobiographies, but I've given away at least half of those that I've read since I've discovered what the person is really like, but not so with God. The Bible is his autobiography. The more we read it, the more we'll learn of his character, the more we'll become enthralled and excited. Do you know, one commentator has said, if you don't want to study the Bible, you don't want to change. So Bible study is more than just a short Bible reading. Bible study involves much more. We need to be lifelong students of the word. And I want us to look at this topic through three Bible characters. Firstly, Joshua. From chapter 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. And in verse 6, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Wow, fancy following Moses. But what does this say? First of all, we pick up from verse 8 that study of the word of God is not just reading it. It says, keep it on your lips, meditate on it, mull it over, think about it, go back to it again and again. Don't turn from it, left or right, stick with what it says. And then verse 8, it says, when you read it, make sure that you're careful to do everything written in it. Obey it, do what it says. D.L. Moody says there are four aspects to Bible study. Admit, submit, commit, and transmit. That's admit its truth, submit to its teaching, commit it to memory, transmit it, pass it on. Why, we may ask, do we want to study the Bible? Well, that was right in verse 8 there. You will be prosperous and successful. Now, by that, we're not suggesting for 1 minute that you're going to get a new job and a big pay rise. This is all about being prosperous and successful in the will of God. If you want to be a servant of God, then it's as you study his word, as you dwell on it, and as you obey it, that God will achieve things through your life and my life. You know, Joshua had been groomed for leadership. He was gifted and trained and experienced, but it was his obedience, not his might, that guaranteed the success when they crossed the Jordan and inherited the land. It wasn't anything that Joshua possessed of himself other than his obedience to God and his fulfillment of God's promise. Let's look now at Ezra. Ezra chapter 7. That's when he appears. Although the book's about him, or is his book, he doesn't appear until chapter 7. And it says in verse 1, during the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, son of Sariah, and son of, until as far back as son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra came up, verse 6, from Babylon. He was a teacher well versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord, his God, was on him. Verse 9, the gracious hand of his Lord was on him. Why was that? Verse 10, for Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of God and to its teaching and its laws. So yet again we see the devotion and obedience of the servant of God. God's anointing is on those who are devoted to his word and obedient to its teaching. If we are to grow in God and be effective for him, it will be built on the habitual study of and the obedience to the teaching of his word. Ezra was most significant in the rebuilding of the Jewish community after the time of the Babylonian exile. And the third person I want to look at is Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, we read these words. Be diligent. Do your best to present yourself approved of God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling or dividing the word of truth. The Authorized Version says, be study to show yourself approved. Now, in warning Timothy about vain quarrels and godless chatter, Paul says, make every effort to be approved of God. And the context of this chapter, chapter 2, is that of application and effort. Verse 4, it was about a good soldier. Verse 5, a victorious athlete. Verse 6, a hard-working farmer. This is about work and devotion in order to be approved of God. It requires work. It requires effort. And we're not looking for the approval of man. We're not talking about that cult of charisma of individuals. We're talking about obedience to the word of God. A workman, says the scripture, rightly, correctly handling the word of truth. Or, as in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 13, Paul says, sound teaching. You know, the word that is used at the beginning of verse 15 orthotomeo, and literally means cutting a straight road or dissecting. And we can understand it as not reading into a text what isn't there, seeking just to express the author's intentions, not deviating left or right, not what we would like it to mean. We must always seek to approach scripture with an open heart and mind, asking God the Holy Spirit to reveal his truth to us. There was once a father who was very concerned about the amount of time his son was spending playing computer games. And he said to him, son, when Abraham Lincoln was your age, he was studying books by the light of the fireplace. His son thought about this for a moment and then replied, yeah, well, when Abraham Lincoln was your age, he was president of the United States. Sadly, chronological age doesn't always equal maturity. And in many of our churches, we have far more infants than mature adults. We need to be able to feed ourselves from God's word. And that's a mark of maturity with our own youngsters when they learn how to feed themselves. The New Testament talks a lot to us about becoming mature, Ephesians 4, James 1, because maturity will keep us from error. We will not be blown about by every wrong interpretation and unsound teaching. And there are many very subtle erroneous teachings around today. If we don't study God's word, we will think like the world around us. We will have a worldly mindset. And we will be, as A.W. Tozer points out, mediocre Christians. And our churches will be void of power and barren of fruit. Study of God's word will bring maturity. transforming our minds so that we're no longer influenced by the present carnal world. So how do we go about Bible study? Well, the first thing is to get yourself a good Bible translation. ESV, English Study Version, NIV, New International Version, NLT, New Living Translation, and indeed the New King James Version. These are accurate translations, works that are of esteemed teams of translators. Paraphrases are easier to read, but are not ideal for study. One popular version calls itself a translation when it's really a paraphrase. And in some instances, verses are 50% longer than the original text, so we need to be careful. Then you need a good commentary. New Bible Commentary from IVP is a great single volume to help us, and the New Bible Dictionary of Biblical Theology. The third thing is a notebook or a journal to keep and record your thoughts and anything that you want to follow up. And the fourth thing you need to do in study is to highlight or underline words that you read in Scripture. Circle words that occur frequently. Make notes and references in your Bible as you go along. And then here are some simple questions you can ask of the text. What does it say? Are there repeated words or ideas? Who's speaking or writing? To whom are they writing? Who are the main characters? What's taking place? Are there any contrasts or comparisons or conditional statements? Are there any bits that I don't understand? Then secondly, what does it mean? Does the surrounding context help me to understand? Are there any confusing words or phrases? Why does the author write this? Is my interpretation of this passage consistent with the rest of Scripture? Where does this passage fall in redemptive history? And then finally we can ask, how do I respond to it? What am I going to do as a result of reading this passage? How will it affect the way I live? How will I continue with new thoughts and new ideas that I've gained from studying Scripture? You may think study is hard, but children get on with it quite naturally. And we do if we have a particular interest. In my case, I like bird watching or music, and I read bird books, music books. I talk to others about them. I watch YouTube clips. I go out and do it. And sometimes when we're studying something, we need to compare notes with other people. We get together in house groups. We talk to those who study the word more than we have, so that we can develop our understanding. I read through the Bible in a year, and I have done it many times, but I'm currently following a chronological reading scheme. And every time I encounter something that puzzles or excites me, I stop and spend my time studying that topic or section. And I'm only just halfway through it now, and it's already taken me 2.5 years. But we'll all find our own ways of studying Scripture, our own time to do it. Can I recommend to you a little book by D.L. Moody called How to Study the Bible? And it's available on a free download from Amazon Kindle. And just finally, to sum up everything we said, the purpose then of the spiritual practice of study is to take that knowledge that we get from our study, that is in our heads, into our hearts, so that that then, in obedience to those things, transforms our thoughts, transforms our actions, and makes us into the people that God wants to use in this world to transform our community. I leave you with a verse from Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have those who love your word, and nothing can make them stumble. Amen.